This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
The following is a live copyrighted presentation. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time now for RadioLawTalk.com with your host, Frederick Penny, attorney at law. And now, RadioLawTalk.com.
Welcome back to Radio Law Talk. I say welcome back to those of you joining us for the second hour for the first time. Welcome to RadioLawTalk.com. I'm Todd Kunin, filling in for Fred Penny here today on this lovely Saturday. Every week we do this show, we always brag about the great weather out here and in the West Coast. Well, not today. Well, I can't really say that we need the rain. I guess we do, but... It's almost like we had an argument with Mother Nature, got all the rain, then we thought the argument was over with, and now Mother Nature's come back and said, and another thing.
Oh, yeah?
By the way. So we got some great weather out here. Callan is, that's the baritone you heard behind the glass.
Fun drive this morning, by the way.
Oh, I bet it was. You've got quite the hike coming in here, don't you?
Yeah, a couple and a half hours, but the point is it was all rain all the time. It was fun. And when it rains in Northern California, sometimes it's like being in Hawaii when I guess they say, I've never been there, but like when the rain decides to come down, it doesn't mess around, and this morning it was not messing around. So it was kind of cool, actually. I liked it.
You know, we get all rock all the time, those radio slogans and stuff.
That's right.
You can get on like YouTube or other places if you're having trouble sleeping, and one of the things they like to download are the rain sounds.
Yes.
That's soothing.
Listen to this.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
So here's our channel, All Rain All the Time.
Music explosion.
Do not listen while driving.
Right. This can be dangerous. So Todd,
yes.
We have so many great cases here today, and one of them involves not just the case, but the rights of the accused, I think. And I was fascinated when I did a little bit of pre-reading on that.
Which one is that?
Isn't that the guy we were going to talk about from Nebraska or somewhere like that in the flyover country? Or am I got the wrong case?
Oh, that is one of them. We have that case. It's the case about, it's out of Kansas.
Yes, okay. That's it.
It's a case out of Kansas. We'll talk about that one in a technique that law enforcement was using that they're actually being sued on as a Fourth Amendment violation, that it is resulting in an unreasonable search and seizure, and we're going to talk about that. And again, our theme for this show, what is pulling us through all 3 hours, is this question about whether or not artificial intelligence, AI, can replace a judge or a jury in our judicial system. And we'll talk about how that plays out there. We got the Ed Sheeran. Sheeran result.
That was huge. He almost did a Michael Bolton and said, if I lose this, I'm out of the music business.
Exactly. And so we've got the results of that trial and some interesting comments made by one of the jurors who was interviewed. And we'll see how that plays with our question of the day, whether or not you think that AI can replace a judge or a jury. And if you have an opinion on that, I think we might have gotten the phones fixed.
Yep, it's all up. It's up and running now, so you can call.
So you can call in 855-529-7234. That's 855-529-7234. And weigh in with your opinion on whether or not you think that artificial intelligence can replace a judge or a jury in our judicial system. But, you know, top of the hour, Cal's already skunked me for 6 points today on case or no case. And now he gets to go again in a case that deals with a famous Ford he teased.
It does. And here, rather than play the open, I'm going to play this.
Uh-oh.
That, of course, is Foggy Mountain Breakdown, one of the big songs that played in the Faye Dunaway Warren Beatty movie Bonnie and Clyde. And so, now Case or No Case centers around the famous thieving couple. It was January 1934 when a specific special order Ford four-door deluxe sedan was assembled at the Ford plant at River Rouge, Dearborn, Michigan. It was shipped to the Ford dealer in Topeka, Kansas. The Warren family bought the car, planned to go on a tour of the United States. But then it was stolen in April of 1934 with less than 800 miles on it. Stolen by a couple by the name of Bonnie and Clyde Barrow. And it ended up being the Bonnie and Clyde death car. When the dust had all settled, Mrs. Warren went to get her car back from the authorities after they were, you know, ambushed and shot dead. The sheriff in the county where the car, where the ambush took place, said, "I'll give you back your car, ma'am, for $15,000. Mrs. Warren said, "Wait a minute, I already paid for this car from the dealer." She was beside herself. And she said, "I want my car back." So she went to see a lawyer by the name of W.D. Goff. That's right, Todd, I say W.D. Goff. She went to see lawyer Goff to see if she had a case, I say, or no case. So what say you?
I'm amazed at the number of different voices. It started out like Boss Hogg, then it ended up sounding like Foghorn Leghorn. I say. That's the way it was there, man.
I'm a lawyer, son. That's
right. Yeah, yeah. Well, for $15,000, I'll give you your car, man.
That's right. That's what it was.
Yeah, plus a free undercarriage. And that's what we got.
Okay, so I'm lousy. Anyway, the point is.
So, does the sheriff or the law enforcement officer... Is it his property allowing him to sell the car? Can they charge her $15,000 to get a car back?
Because two reasons. He wanted to keep it and run it around the country for a crime does not pay display sponsored by the FBI. And two, he said, well, what if we need it for evidence going forward? I'm thinking, well, they're already dead. But anyway, that was, you know, that was...
They're already dead, and they were shot, not by AI.
Yes.
So,
right. So there you go.
Well, look, I can tell you today, this is interesting.
Yep.
This raises an interesting question, because I was about ready to say, well, today, obviously, she'd get the car back. But then I start thinking about all this asset forfeiture stuff.
Right.
You know, drug dealers driving somebody else's car, and they... And gets popped, and it falls under the purview of some sort of asset forfeiture, where any vehicle the person is driving is subject to being forfeited, regardless of ownership. And you know, I would like to say, oh, that would never happen. That would never happen today.
I'll say.
But, you know, I have my feathers numbered for just such an occasion. So kudos if you get the cartoon reference that was from.
And did you know that birds can move their feathers individually?
I did not know that.
Yeah, just right
I did not. And look, I'm not trying to stall here because okay. we got too far to get to the
stall away.
So look, I will say this. Oh, good Lord. I can't believe I'm going to do this again. This is I'm second guessing myself now. Okay, case, she gets a lawyer, they get their car back. So a case, they get the lawyer, they get the car back. The law enforcement does not have the right to charge her $15,000 because they want to use the car for some, you know, around the country. Besides, if they touted that car around the country, arguably it would destroy the evidentiary value of the car if they wanted to use it for evidence going forward.
But so, it would show kids.
Oh, yeah.
And gangsters in the Depression era, when bank robbers were common, that crime does not pay.
Crime does.
Unless you own the car.
Apparently, it paid temporarily. They did rob a lot of banks. But
right,
yes, it ultimately does not pay off. So, case, but she gets her car back.
All right. Well, yes. I'm not going to tell you now because we only have a minute. So, you know, I that's all we have, and I thought I would. I like this particular banjo tune.
Okay.
So we'll out and grin out with this, if that's all right.
All right. Well, let me do this. So
yeah.
The case that we're going to cover out of Kansas, police officers would stop somebody, go to let them complete the stop, take a step away from the car a little bit, and then walk back to the car to continue talking to them to buy time. That is the basic premise of this case, and whether or not that action ends up resulting in a Fourth Amendment violation.
Wow, fascinating. That's coming up. Also, the answer to the Bonnie and Clyde car case or no case, right after this on Radio Law Talk with Todd Koonin and I, your humble yet charming servant. Yeah. We'll be back.
Commercials. Channels and other announcements aired on Radio Law Talk contain the opinions of the sponsor. The airing of said announcements on Radio Law Talk does not constitute an endorsement. The announcements may contain claims that are not intended to treat, diagnose, or cure any disease. These claims have not been evaluated by the FDA.
I've got to get my car washed. This dirt is just won't do. But I don't have no time today. I don't know what I do. And I know this place right down the road. Quick, quack, car wash. Hop inside, let's take a ride and watch this guy shine. Just come and see, I guarantee your ride will steal the show. Come on, quick, quack, car wash. Don't drive that dirty car. Quick, quack, car wash. They'll have you looking sharp. Come on.
Here's Fred Penny with Penny and Associates.
When you or a family member have been injured in an accident, what should you look for in a personal injury lawyer? The first thing is an experienced personal injury law firm that is actually taking cases to trial. Hi, I'm Frederick Penny, managing partner and founder of Penny and Associates Injury Lawyers. For over 30 years, Penny and Associates Injury Lawyers has been successfully representing individuals and their families. At Penny and Associates, we're experienced trial lawyers, and we work with you to get the best results.
Go to pennyandassociates.com or call 800-616-4529.
If you're one of those independent people who wants your own business and you love food service, we just might have a great opportunity for you. Iceberg Drive-Ins. Iceberg is famous for its thick shakes and delicious food. We lend you our supply chain and expertise, and you can potentially have a thriving, successful, fun business that your customers will love. Iceberg Drive-Ins has some prime areas available right now, so if you're interested, get in touch with us right away. Go to icebergdrivein.com and click on the Contact Us button. Iceberg Drive-In. Ready to grow with you.
This is Denise Dirks. We can represent clients in divorce, legal separation, child and spousal support, custody, termination of parental rights, step-parent adoptions, guardianships, and even conservatorship matters. Call 1-877-886-7186 for a consultation.
The law offices of Denise L. Dirks provide family law services in Northern California. When the law affects your family, call 877-886-7186.
Hi, this is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and best-selling author on safety and preparedness. The fact is, things are getting downright scary for everyone who's storing their wealth in the banks. We just saw the collapse of three major banks, and I would urge you to consider protecting your wealth ASAP. If even a tiny percentage of Americans attempt to withdraw their savings, we would see a collapse of the entire banking system, sending us into a modern-day Great Depression. Fortunately, there is a way for you to avoid this. It starts with contacting Advantage Gold. If you have an IRA or 401k, Advantage Gold can help convert those paper assets into physical gold and silver. This is the process that I recommend everybody use as a hedge against rapid inflation and to protect your retirement wealth from the banks. Take control of your financial safety today. Call 800-900-8000 to get your free gold investment kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Have you ever watched a video on the internet and found yourself waiting for the skip the ad button? The reason this takes a few seconds is because the video delivery companies get to collect impression commission, and the viewer never sees the advertisement. The company still pays full price to run the ad. Does this sound like a scam to you? Is there any wonder why internet ads are so ineffective? For over 100 years, radio has been a proven source for companies' messages. Radio listeners are engaged and want to support the companies that sponsor the shows they're so passionate about. Simple companies like window treatments, security, pillow companies, and more have been able to break away from the big box stores, building multi-million dollar businesses. Find out what radio can do for your business. Call 877-996-4327 or advertise at gcnlive.com. That's advertise at gcnlive.com.
7-0.
Radio Law Talk. I like that show.
Oh, come on.
Now it's time for more Radio Law Talk.
All right, so we went into the break. I had given my answer on Radio Law Talk. Was the owner of the car driven by Bonnie and Clyde, the original owner, the car was stolen from them. It was used by Bonnie and Clyde in their heists. It was riddled with bullet holes when Bonnie and Clyde were caught, and the owner wants to get it back, and the law enforcement agency says, well, I'll give it to you for $15,000.
Here's what's interesting, Todd. There have been at least 7 duplicate Bonnie and Clyde death cars made up and displayed in museums around the country. Did you know this? Including the Mob Museum in Las Vegas. That's a phony. It's not the real one.
It's a fake.
Yeah, it's a fake.
Okay.
So,
here's what
happened.
By the way, I said that this was a case and that she got her car back without having to pay the $15,000.
Well, the Warrens got their car back. In fact, she drove it back after the judge awarded it to her with blood and tissue in the car and bullet holes all over it and drove it back home. And then a photographer came up to her and said, I'll give you $3,000 for the car. And she said, fine, sold it to him. And it ended up being on display in the World's Fair in New York City in the early 1960s and then went on to this museum in Illinois. But it went to the World's Fair in the 1960s, and now it's at what is called the Crime Doctor Museum. So case, 6 points for you. She wins. They get the car back. And that, as they say, is case or no case.
Is case or no case.
Next hour, a man with a touch of larceny, sort of a page out of Catch Me If You Can. That's next time on Radio Law Talk. Now back to the show with Todd Kuhner.
Did you say a man with a touch of larceny?
Yeah. Why'd
you miss work? Oh, I had a touch of the flu. I had a touch of larceny. And then I had a touch of having to make bail.
Two problems.
And in about a month, I'm going to have a touch of making a court appearance.
There'll be a touch of a brief sentence, you know, maybe 8 to 10 days. Is it? All right. So that's it. So, Todd.
Oh, brother. All right. So, here we go. In the state of Kansas, and this is interesting. We're going to talk about a couple of things and the way law enforcement works and how this applies not just to what's going on in Kansas, but what law enforcement can do sometimes, why they pull some people over. But in the state of Kansas, there's a tactic that's been dubbed the Kansas two-step, and no, it ain't dancing.
What?
And essentially, what the Kansas two-step is where a patrol officer makes a stop. In this case, it was a stop because a person in an RV had crossed the white line, right? And so the officer goes up, gives a warning, right? This is important. The RV, the motorhome, was from out of state, right?
Sure.
And so the motorhome's from out of state. The officer makes the stop. The officer, after giving the warning, leaves to go back to his patrol officer, takes about 2 or 3 steps towards his vehicle, then stops and comes back, talks to the driver again. And I think there's a specific reason why they're doing that, why they make these 2 steps. They go back and talk to the driver, and while they're talking to the driver, essentially they're buying time for the drug-sniffing dog to get there to see if they have any other incriminating evidence they can find, have the dog come and do a sniff, which you don't need a warrant for it, around the car, around the RV. Now, a couple of things. I said it was the RVs were from out of state. And that's important because Kansas, unlike a lot of states, is still a state where marijuana is illegal.
Right.
And so the idea here is, what the ACLU is trying to prove in this case and argue is that officers are targeting cars from out of state where marijuana is legal because they think, okay, if marijuana is legal in that state and it's an RV, there's a high likelihood there's marijuana on that car, but not enough for us to get a warrant and probable cause. But if we can just keep this stop going for some reason, like crossing the white line, get our dog out here, maybe it'll turn something up.
So is a dog a warrantless search in that kind of a scenario? I ask you, Todd Kuhner.
It is, and in certain, you know, for example, courts have held that, you know, the drug-sniffing dogs at the airport.
Yeah.
Yeah, they can go by and sniff your bag. If they alert, then law enforcement has something to get there. It's similar to, I think they're piggybacking off the idea of plain view. Like an officer can look, if they can see into your car, standing in a spot where they're legally entitled to be standing. This would be something similar. It's a plain sniff
or, yeah,
of
or
the
smell.
Dog.
I mean, can an officer smell? alcohol on your breath, for example, or alcohol or smell weed, and then say, based on that, I got a suspicion of a crime in a state where it's illegal.
Well, if they smell alcohol or weed at the driver's side,
yeah,
they're there, that's immediately going to start some sort of DUI investigation.
Okay, fair
enough. And you'll know if they use the that it's not that I smell alcohol code here. The odor of an alcoholic beverage, technically alcohol is odorless. But the odor of an alcoholic beverage has a distinct smell to it, and that's what they smell, and that justifies the DUI investigation. So the question here that Kansas is being called on the carpet for is, does this violate the Fourth Amendment to be free from unreasonable searches and seizures on this idea?
So by enacting a search with the dog without any immediately evident probable cause, is that what I'm hearing?
Not necessarily. Not even the dog.
Okay, just...
What was the reason for the stop?
Well, the fog line violation.
The fog line. How long does it take to settle a fog line violation if you're telling them that they can leave with just a warning? It takes very little time.
Yeah.
So the idea here is now you've got a prolonged detention that has gone far beyond the reason for the stop to begin with. And because you're prolonging the detention and the dog ain't out there yet,
right,
what is your reasonable suspicion to be prolonging this detention? And this is a big issue here.
Well, I think it is, because we're all supposed to be free from unreasonable search and seizure, are we not?
That's right. And a search hasn't occurred, but they've definitely been stopped. It's a seizure. They're not free to leave.
Right.
They couldn't just drive away. In this case, with the RV, the dog came, alerted, and resulted in a 40-minute search of the RV, which produced nothing.
Wow.
When we get back, I'm going to finish up with this and talk about how this is kind of used in other jurisdictions. When officers see out-of-state plates, don't go away.
Well, you have rights, too, and you need to know what they are. That's why many people who get in trouble call a lawyer, and that's what you ought to do. We'll be back with Radio Law Talk right after this. Don't go away.
You turned on Radio Law Talk. Radio Law Talk. Commercials and other announcements aired on Radio Law Talk contain the opinions of the sponsor. The airing of said announcements on Radio Law Talk does not constitute an endorsement. The announcements may contain claims that are not intended to treat, diagnose, or cure any disease.
These claims have not been evaluated by the FDA.
I've got to get my car washed. This dirt is just won't do.
Best thing about Quick Cut Car Wash is whenever you go through, the smell on your car is always great, and they have super fun lights and colors.
But I don't have no time today. I don't know what I do.
Your car smells good and it's clean at Quick Quack Car Wash.
And I know this place right down the road.
Quick Quack Car Wash.
Quick Quack Car Wash.
Get the Quick Quack confidence.
Hop inside, let's take a ride and watch this daddy shine.
Get the Quick Quack habit. Take a car once a week.
Just come and see. I guarantee your ride will steal the show.
I like Quick Quack because of the mascot, Quackles.
So we sell unlimited membership for per vehicle. You can add a family plan and add an additional vehicle at a discounted rate.
Don't drive that dirty car. Quick, quack, car.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance, or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-493-6112. 800-493-6112. 800-493-6112. That's 800-493-6112.
U.S.
USA News update. They're celebrating in London after King Charles III was officially crowned. The historic coronation took place at Westminster Abbey for Charles and Queen Camilla, with thousands of guests from around the world in attendance.
Bless, we beseech thee, this crown, and so sanctify thy servant Charles, upon whose head this day thou dost place it for a sign of royal majesty.
The coronation comes nearly 8 months after the death of Queen Elizabeth II. Ukraine's Air Force says it shot down a Russian hypersonic missile over Kyiv using newly acquired American Patriot defense systems. It was the first time Ukraine is known to have used the Patriot defense system. Thousands of residents of Alberta, Canada have fled their homes as wildfires continue to burn out of control. More than 78 fires are burning in that Canadian province as temperatures soar and high winds fan the flames. John Schaefer, USA News.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
39.
Can we stop now?
This is no fun.
Now, Radio Law Talk continues. Here's your host, Fred Penny.
So going into the break, we're talking about the Kansas two-step, the investigation technique used by Kansas patrol officers when they pull over a car from out of state, and not just out of state, but they pull over a car, they'd issue a warning, finish whatever they're doing, walk away from the car, take a couple steps, then go back. Now, why is it important to say that they took a couple of steps away and they went back? And here's one of the reasons. There's case law that says, look, an officer needs a warrant to obviously go into your car, search your car, go into your house, things like that. An officer needs reasonable suspicion to detain you. But an officer does not need either a warrant or a reasonable suspicion to simply approach somebody on the street and engage in conversation with them, right? And so, look, if I could walk down the street and see somebody say, hey, how you doing? What's going on? You know, and chat them up and have a conversation with them, there's nothing that prevents law enforcement from doing that so long as there's nothing coercive in their stop. And so it seems to me like what Kansas troopers are doing is saying, look, I issued the warning, I left, I take two steps, now when I go back to talking to them, I'm just talking to somebody that's sitting there like I would talk to anybody else. What do I need a warrant for? What do I need reasonable suspicion for, even though what's really happening is they're prolonging that detention so they can get the drug dog out there?
Can the motor home driver say, Am I free to go now? After that first encounter, can he say, am I free to go now?
That would be the perfect thing to say. Yeah. Say, officer, am I free to leave? And if the officer says no, well, then that, now there's no question.
Right.
And you know, I want to be careful with this because right. I see a lot of these videos.
Dumb videos.
I see a lot of these videos where people are trying to make their argument about why the cop can do this and can't do that. And I need to have this. And it ends up with somebody getting arrested and a cop getting ticked off and things like that. Look. If you say, can I leave, and the officer says no, and you stay there, that's not the time where you start to argue. All you're really doing when you do that is making sure that there's no question when your lawyer at some point in time in the future wants to argue that evidence should be suppressed. The in the field is not the time where you should or should expect that the legitimacy of the stop under the Fourth Amendment is going to be adjudicated.
Not it's the time to litigate that.
It's not going to happen out there. All that's going to happen is you're going to end up getting arrested.
And here's another word of advice from me, because I've done the other side before. Calm down and show respect for the officer and his job.
Yeah.
Because the same cop you want to spar with there may be the one that comes to your home when you call 911 when you have a real problem. Show some respect and be decent and be a good human being no matter what's going on there. It works out better that way.
It could be. I mean, that's just practical advice, although not all cops are saints when they make that stop.
I'm not saying they are. I'm just saying be respectful. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. But this raises another question. Okay, so the judge in this case in Kansas is going to have to determine whether the officer's actions violated the Fourth Amendment, whether or not staying there prolonged a detention beyond that which needed to happen. And we go back to our question here. So a judge is going to make this determination. How comfortable would you be with having artificial intelligence make this determination? I mean, is it a stop? Okay, on a white line violation, fog line violation, the stop should last no longer than 37 seconds or a minute and 20 seconds. And if it goes beyond that, there are so many variables.
But you see, the AI can check. Did he do a want and warrant check? Did he run the driver's license? Did he run the license plate? Standard stuff that cops do when they pull people over. Did he do that? How long did that take? When he was done, then what happened, right? I mean, don't you think the AI could figure that out?
Now, the big issue is going to be whether or not a reasonable person would have felt that they were free to leave. Let's say they didn't ask that question,
yeah,
right? And the person sitting in the car, sitting in the RV, is going to say, well, the lights were on, and I saw his gun, and I saw this. The cop is going to say, my lights weren't on. My gun was not drawn. I've got a gun on my side, but every officer does. And unless the gun is drawn, a reasonable person shouldn't be in fear that they're going to get shot under those circumstances. And really, the fact that I'm wearing a uniform is a show of force. If I wasn't wearing a uniform and had a car, nobody would ever stop.
Right.
And those are all variables that it might be very difficult for an AI asking a computer program to determine what a reasonable person would do.
Right, but an AI can see if the body cam was on and look at the video and verify the officer's claim. So can a DA investigator. Anybody could.
They could do that, but again, how is AI a computer program? How is a machine going to make a determination about what a reasonable person would do when that machine is not a person?
Right. They can't do the interpretation of the person in the car. They can only look at the facts and the numbers versus averages, I would imagine.
It makes it very difficult in that. Again, if you got an opinion about whether or not AI can replace judges and juries, and I mean, we're just talking about drops in the bucket. Somebody called in earlier and said, yeah, about compassion. I'm thinking, well, that in jury deliberations in a trial, emotions and empathy, this was last hour. And from my perspective, well, I suppose technically that's an argument about why AI would be good, because as a jury, you're not supposed to use your emotions to determine the verdict.
So you can call us now if you want. Yeah. We have the open lines, and we'd love to hear from you on this. Would you?
That number, by the way, 855-529-7234. That's 855-529-7234.
Would you relinquish your case to an AI? Well, that's what it comes down to. Would you, if you were a defendant, would you say, well, okay, let's let the AI box figure it out, right? I mean, is that what we're talking about here?
That'd be a tough one.
Right?
You know, that would be very tough. And, depending on the case, I suppose, I suppose if it was something that was fact determinative, you know, did this happen? Didn't it happen? Take a DUI. Was the person impaired or weren't they? If it's an alcohol case, were they above a .08 or not? Well, that is what was the readout, right?
And
what's the margin of error?
Numbers don't lie.
For whatever reason, we couldn't determine what the blood alcohol level was. Maybe, you know, there was an accident and the blood sample we took got destroyed on the freeway as it was being transferred. Something, right?
Yeah,
so we have to go based upon the field sobriety tests, and is lack of coordination, and believe me, there are a lot of uncoordinated people, is that enough to say somebody's impaired because of the alcohol? You know, when maybe they couldn't do those things. I mean, have you seen them in gym class? For crying out loud.
Right. Is it a DUI test or an agility test? That's the question that always asked. Right?
Exactly. I mean, would you have AI make that determination? Getting back to this Kansas case, they pull him over because of the plate was an out-of-state plate, right? Here's where you see this happen, pulling him over because of your license plate. Cal, you and I were talking about this in the break, and this is one that I dealt with as a prosecutor. That Reno gun show?
Oh, yeah. Tell me about that. That's a fascinating scenario.
So every year there's the big Reno gun show, and look, there are guns that are legal in the state of Nevada, Reno, Nevada. There are guns that are legal there that are illegal, would qualify as assault weapons, illegal in the state of California. And so California law enforcement would go to Reno, hang out in the parking lot, undercover, hang out in the parking lot, wait till they'd see somebody coming out of the gun show carrying a weapon that to them looked like would be illegal in the state of California. They watch them, and you know what? If that person gets into a car with a California plate, they've got officers all around. They follow them, and as soon as they cross over from Nevada to the California border to go home, guess who gets lit up?
Wow.
And now they're facing a felony gun charge because of the gun they bought in Nevada. And it was because of their license plate.
That's because there aren't enough unregistered guns in the urban areas of California, in the dangerous parts. They have to go to Nevada and cherry pick. That seems a little crazy to me, but they do it. So
yeah, it happens. And, I mean, the fact is, it's a gun being imported and into the state of California. And so that's what they do it. I mean... I don't want to give advice and tell people how to do what they're going to do, but I don't know that I'd ever go to a gun show driving a car with license plates that were not in the same state as the gun show I was going to.
Has anybody challenged that?
Even if I didn't purchase it. So I prosecuted cases like that.
Really?
I prosecuted some cases that came in. I mean, this falls on my desk, and I'm a young prosecutor. I don't have the ability to say, no, I'm not going to prosecute this one. And in one particular case, there was a suppression motion brought by defense counsel. Denied. Court found there was reasonable suspicion. Look, the officer had reasonable suspicion to know that the guy had a weapon in his car that was contrary to California law.
Wow.
And it upheld. And the guy ended up with a conviction.
So his gun, got a conviction.
And I'll tell you, and he was not an individual that you would have thought twice about. Upstanding dude.
Yeah. Wow. Wow.
So
be careful. Be careful out there because they're pretty smart.
So we'll be back after the break again, 855-529-7234. You think artificial intelligence should replace a judge and a jury, or could? Let us know your thoughts. You're listening to Radio Law Talk.
All advertising for legal services on Radio Law Talk is strictly for the state or states in which the advertiser is licensed. For more information, go to radiolawtalk.com. If you're one of those...
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCMteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCMteam.com.
www.radiolawtalk.com immediately. You're looking for military specialists who can use a computer, can communicate information, and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life Crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.
No matter where you live, what you make, or who you voted for, there are some things that will impact all of us soon. Whether you're concerned about the alarming increase in man-made disasters, financial institutions collapsing, or worsening food shortages, Americans are preparing in numbers not seen since World War II. What's changed is how we prepare. And the folks at My Patriot Supply have made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind, knowing you're ready for what's next. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on over a dozen emergency food kits. These include tasty breakfasts, lunches, dinners, drinks, fruits, veggies, meats, and snacks, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit per person. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. My Patriot Supply food kits are in stock and shipped discreetly. We've seen too many Americans let down by institutions we used to trust. It's time to rely on ourselves. MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperTea.com.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Longevity at TeamG'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at TeamG'day.com, and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your longevity business. TeamG'day.com. TeamG'day.com.
This is the best show ever.
Now, Radio Law Talk continues. Here's your host, Fred Penny.
So, we've been talking about AI and whether or not it can replace courts. Let's take a look at this recent development in cases that were ongoing. Ed Sheeran. We talked about this last week. Ed Sheeran was in the middle of a trial last week, and the question was whether his song, Thinking Out Loud, violated the copyright protection of the Marvin Gaye song, Let's Get It On. And the suit was not brought by the estate of Marvin Gaye. The suit was brought by the estate of the co-writer of Let's Get It On, which is, I think the last name was Thompson. And the jury reached a verdict today, or this week. And before we get to that, Ed Sheeran, while the jury was deliberating, told people, what'd they say, Cal? What'd he say? If they find this is a copyright violation, what?
I've got no business in the music business. I'm out.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you know, when I first heard him say that, it was like, okay, I get that. No, poor baby. I'm out and I'm still going to, you know, live the rest of my life making millions on the royalties of my songs that I didn't get sued for, blah, 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 and stuff. And it wasn't until I read the comments of his co-defendant, Amy Wedge, who he wrote that song with. And I'll talk about that in a second, but it was her comments that was like, oh, now I understand why this was so important. This lawsuit is so important to the creative process. But first, let's get to the outcome.
This is Marvin Gaye.
This is the Marvin Gaye song. I mean,
Marvin Gaye shot to death by his own father.
Yeah. And the number of movies that this song shows up in. I mean, let's just say the estate of Marvin Gaye is making a lot of money based on royalties just from the movies that the song ends
that
up in.
That and the Tammy Terrell song he did with her called Ain't No Mountain High Enough.
That's right.
Which was huge also. I mean, he was really, really doing well for himself.
And then
had some self-destructive issues and a dad that didn't get along well. But separate story. So Marvin Gaye's gone.
So the jury comes back and the jury finds for Ed Sheeran. They say, look, this was not a copyright infringement. I'm going to tell you, having sat, oh, good heavens, in excess of 50, 60 times the number of jury trials that I've done, that is the most nerve-wracking part. And it doesn't matter how many victories you've had in your career, sitting there and the jury comes back in and all of a sudden your mind is racing because somebody looks, oh my, come on, oh my, that look, that meant they're gonna, that meant that they're gonna find for the other side.
So you start second-guessing everything, right?
Somebody's looking at me, this person is scratching their arm, well that means that's gonna be,
just, what did I say that offended them, right?
And then the judge, and then they said, has the jury reached a verdict? And yes, we have, Your Honor. Do you have the verdict forms? Yes, we hand them to the bailiff. The bailiff goes. The judge looks at them. And then the judge does this thing where the judge looks at it and then looks out at both sides and goes down. And you're like, oh, my gosh. The judge looked at the defense first and wound up prosecutor. That must mean it's going to be.
He's rolling his eyes.
And they go back. And I'll now have the clerk, you know, and in the above entitled matter in so-and-so versus so-and-so, we, the jury, find the in a criminal case, find the defendant guilty, you know, and look. If you're a prosecutor and you hear the word guilty, the most important thing at that point, in my opinion, is don't showboat, just stone face.
Be humble.
Thank you. Right. Thank you. Yeah. Okay, good. You don't want to do the happy dance and jump around or anything like that. And
no jumping on the table saying, I knew it. No.
Yeah. So it comes back and they side for Ed Sheeran. And they said that the song did not infringe on the copyright. Now, I want to talk first about what Amy Wedge said, okay? And this is the co-defendant.
Okay.
And what she said here was, this goes beyond just this case, because if this case wins based upon the creative process and the fact that, look, chord progressions are chord progressions. They sound a lot alike, and we can do this stuff, but I didn't realize until I saw her, read her comments, the negative impact that a lawsuit like this could have on the creative process of young musicians, young songwriters everywhere. The paranoia that a songwriter would have for creating something that you thought was great, and then from their perspective, look, the estate of Marvin Gaye and the estate of a co-writer, Thompson, they got money. They're powerful estates, right? And so then the fear is, am I going to have these folks with their resources coming after me, wanting to take my any money that I make from this, the effect that a lawsuit like this that could have on young songwriters, it would have been devastating.
And old songwriters. Merle Haggard told me once in a radio interview, I was talking with him, and he lives up in Northern California, where I do, and at the time before he died. And he said, look, I don't listen to the radio or anything else. I don't want what I write to be influenced or somebody coming after me telling me that I stole a song from them.
Eddie Van Halen said the same thing.
Isn't that interesting?
He said the last album he bought was Peter Gabriel back in the mid-80s, but he wouldn't listen to other music because he was too busy creating his own stuff.
Yeah.
You know? Now look, on the flip side of the coin, on the flip side here, you get a young songwriter who submits their musical composition to some producer. The producer says, no, I don't like this one. It's terrible. And then, you know, 2 years later, the big name that is also uses that producer comes out with a song that sounds just like what you wrote.
Right.
Right. That could be similarly negative, obviously, and destroy the creative process. But I think some of that is happening a little bit less, in the sense that now we have so many means of distribution that don't require record labels and producers. People can write songs in their own house using
very
sound
accessible
tools, Logic
tools
and stuff.
Yeah, very accessible.
But I want to get back to our question about AI, because listen to what the juror said.
Okay.
So one of the jurors was interviewed that cited for Ed Sheeran. Said, you know, there's a lot of back and forth, and we all wanted to make sure we were very comfortable with the decision. I don't see AI saying, well, I got to be comfortable with this decision. It's like, it's binary. Thumbs up, yes or no, you know?
Well, AI lays the notes over the top of each other, and says yes or no, right? Isn't that what you would think?
I would think so.
Yeah.
And they said, okay, a key factor in the jury's decision, according to this juror, was the fact that Ed Sheeran actually performed the song during the trial.
Cool.
And the juror says this, it's obviously cool to have anyone play music in front of you live. She said, sure. So that was an interesting surprise decision, because you're comparing music to a sheet, but it was very cool to hear Sheeran play in court. And I'm reading this, and I'm thinking, remember the caller first hour that said emotions and stuff like that?
Right.
Well, music taps into emotions. And when you have Ed Sheeran, essentially, to a certain extent, given a private show for 12 jurors, that was the coolness of it should have meant nothing to the verdict. But I guarantee you right now, the plaintiff who lost is going, anybody in the future going forward is like, okay, motion in limine to prevent the artist, the big name artist, from basically giving a private concert because of the prejudicial impact it could have on the jurors.
But was it prejudicial, or was it simply evidentiary, where he said, look, I'm going to prove to you that this, okay, Louie Louie has the same chords as Hang On Sloopy, has the same chords as the Trogs, and I feel it in my fingers. I mean, you know, there are thousands of songs that use that chord progression.
Play the recording. Why does the artist need to be there playing it for them with the guitar?
You know, cool.
Look, if I was going to write music,
I love it.
If I was going to write music, I would have my music, you know, include the words, lyrics like juror number 7 and this in the really key part, so that when I'm playing it in court, and juror number 7, and I'd look at juror number 7, you need to decide for me. You know, it's just the lyrics of the song, Your Honor. All right, we're coming up at the end of our second hour.
Now Todd's greatest hits, Juror, I Love You.
Yeah, every song I write has the word juror and a number in it. Don't go away. You got one more hour. We're going to continue talking about AI and how it relates to cases. You want to chime in, call us at 855-529-7234. Hey, if you don't want to talk, just tell Cal what your opinion is, and we'll make it through. We'll talk to you after the hour.
This is Radio Law Talk. The show will resume at 6 minutes after the next hour. You stay right there, and we will too. Radio Law Talk continues in a bit. Don't go away.
Listening to RadioLawTalk.com, a copyrighted presentation of Radio Law Talk Incorporated.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.